The next set of questions we have is a make-believe mental detention act. Remember, we're going to be discussing this act, not the BC Mental Health Act, okay? So we're in this make-believe country, Lotus Land. It says if two doctors certify in Form 1, which is in the act, that a person is mentally ill and needs to be in the hospital because the person is a significant threat to public safety, any police officer can convey that person to a hospital. The person in charge of the hospital under Section 4 may release the patient detained under Section 3 if he's of the opinion that the patient is no longer mentally ill and no longer a significant threat to public safety. Okay? And then we go down to Section 5, which sets up a mental health detention panel. And the panel has the power to release a person if they're no longer mentally ill and no longer a significant threat to public safety. Now, I'm going to give you the first question I have is the person's suicidal. Okay? They're bipolar. This isn't in the questions. Okay? The evidence and the matter comes up in front of this detention panel, and the question comes up as to whether the person should be released. And what do you think?
You know he's been diagnosed bipolar.
Yes. And the evidence as far as that if he's still suicidal and he'll probably continue that way for some time. Any comments? Okay. Okay. So what happens? Okay. Any comments about that?
Tearing up the hospital.
Okay. Any comments about that?
There's an and. No longer mentally ill and no longer threat to public safety. So he's still mentally ill, showing symptoms and some of that. He wouldn't have to be released.
He wouldn't be released. Okay.
That was the diagnosis.
I think he may be depends on his manic. You know, he's not doing anything unusual.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, this statute is written in rather in vague fashion to bring out all these issues. And I think all of us feel that the person should be retained in the hospital because obviously if they're suicidal, they're going to kill themselves. And that none of us want that on our conscience. And but at the same time, the legislation seems to be drafted to be concerned about people dangerous to other people. And because you're suicidal, doesn't make you a danger to other people. And sometimes, I've written this in a rather vague way, to bring out to you sometimes the conflicts in legislation and some of the conflicts that, that you will face. I should say what this has a real life drama, because sometimes under the mental health, under the mental disorder provisions of the Criminal Code of Canada, people found it used to be insane under the Criminal Code. They don't use that word. Mentally disordered under the Criminal Code. There is a review board and a review panel, and what they're concerned about is a significant threat to public safety. And one of the issues that's still up in the air in that, what about suicidal people? And so what do you do with them? And if you have someone who's no longer a significant threat to public safety, and that's what the legislation says, what do you do with them? Do you, as the Mental Health Review Board, release them? And what's your answer to that? How would you, as an advocate, deal with that issue?
I would have him released only with someone to be accompanying that person, not released on his own.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay. That's what we're talking about, this legislation. If I'm going to shift you quite to the real world, this is the make-believe legislation. What about a situation in which had someone, the criminal code says that they have to release you if you're no longer a threat, a significant threat to public safety. What do you do then? What's the argument? Threats to public safety in the sense of some sort of physical threat. Well, that I think the courts basically have taken that position under the criminal code.
But it's not to yourself.
Yeah. I think these issues that we've been discussing bring out some of the problems. The problem is, my view is, that the person is released. Because although they may be suicidal and a threat to themselves, they're not a threat to public safety. Unless you take the position of someone jumping off the Granville Street Bridge might hit somebody when they jump off. I don't think, and you say, well, this is all unfair and everything, and this person will be released. I think the answer to that, and this is why you have to be creative as an advocate, is that if you were arguing this in front of the BC Review Board, you would argue, well, they can always be certified under the Provincial Mental Health Act, which talks about a person being a threat to themselves. So you would argue, you can delay your order a few days, and if the doctors really feel he's a threat or she's a threat to themselves, they can certify them. And so sometimes you have to be a little creative. But if the legislation, sometimes legislation says things that are unjust, and sometimes legislation says things that are not fair, but still you have to deal with them. And sometimes you can come up with creative solutions. And I'll give you another example of what I'm talking about, some of the issues. As I teach a course for the law school, and I had a representative from the Law Society come and talk to the students about legal ethics, and lawyers are supposed to keep things confidential. And he talked about one of the ethical issues the Law Society had to deal with. And that was a lawyer represented an insurance company in a personal injury case, probably a motor vehicle accident. And one of the things you do in personal injury work is that you, as the representative of the insurance company, can get a medical examination of the person injured, so you can see what sort of injuries they resulted in it. Well, when the insurance company's doctors examined the person, they found out that the treating doctor had missed a serious injury or a serious consequence of the accident. Not only was it serious, it was life-threatening. Okay, so the lawyer representing the insurance company had an ethical dilemma. Okay, what does he has this dilemma between representing his client to the best of his ability, plus this guy may die. And so the question was, can this lawyer tell this opposing lawyer or tell this opposing client about the situation? And you know what was the decision of the loss, the particular law society in this case? Not to tell. And you say, well, that's the end of the issue. Well, not really, because what you do is, if you're the insurance company lawyer, you quickly settle the case, right? So it won't cost you so much. And then you badger your client in saying, you better tell, or else this is going to be terrible publicity. So I give you this, these two examples, the example of the mental disorder provisions of the criminal code and these ethical problems, which is that sometimes the answer to your problem isn't necessarily a direct solution. It may be an indirect, or like my hypothetical question about the married woman and the consent that gets everybody riled up. Sometimes the direct answer is not, and you have to be a little on the creative side to find a solution to these problems.